Obviously, some of you may have taken the opportunity to meet some of my family who's here. Daughter, son-in-law, cutest granddaughter sitting in row three. I'm sorry. It's been fun. I have a shadow. If you were here early this morning, you see I have a shadow, and it is worthwhile. And there they go. Not staying to listen to Grandpa? I'll take that as a no. Okay. They ran out the door. Anybody see that? All right, we need to do something together this morning, so I want you to understand. I'd like you to take your hands like this, and if you just kind of hold them out, it doesn't matter to me which way, but just so I can see the face of your watch, that I can see the face of your watch. If you're not wearing a watch, put your wrist down. You're of absolute no use to me. If you do not have a watch, put your wrists down. Put your hands down. Okay. Shell, you don't have a watch. You can put your hands down. Okay. And Beth, okay, good. Reasons, I'd like to borrow a watch, but I'd like to borrow an expensive watch. Because I have... What? And everybody puts their hands down like that. I'd like to borrow an expensive watch because I've been practicing magic for like a week and a half, and I want to show you something that I learned, and it's really pretty cool. Is that an expensive watch? It is. Okay, cool. I'll take it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Ooh, Cartier. Is that an expensive brand? I just said that. Okay. Got everybody's attention, didn't it? This is really cool. Thank you. And so... Listen, I did. I want you to think of something, okay, with me and how you go about it. Because this is about, I go about stuff like this, a purchase, just like I'm going to tell you, I really hunt well. I think a lot of you do too. You know what it is? Here it is. I've decided that I want to get this watch. By the way, this is pretty. And you know how you know it's expensive? There's no numbers on the dial. How in the world can you tell time with these things? It's just a blank face. Anyway, but, okay, yeah, I wonder. So I see this watch that I want, and I go see what it is in the store, and I've looked at it online, and I've gone in different stores, and I know the prices that I've seen. I really want this watch, but I got to be honest with you. The price is outrageous. It is really high, but I've always wanted one of these kind of watches. So what I do is I scheme for this watch. I look for sales. I look for coupons, which is like coupons in America. But you got it, didn't you, Bruce? Thank you. And so I look for coupons, and I look for any discount I can. I look for stores that are going out of business so I can get a deal on this. And when the guy in the street says, hey, come here, I've got a deal for you. I go, no, that's fake. I want the real thing with certification. And lo and behold, after months and months and months of working toward this goal, which I always wanted, this fantastic watch, things come together. I either agree to the financing, I've gotten the money, found money, tax money, bonus at work, whatever it is, and boom, I sink it into this watch. Now, I might be being a little ridiculous, but how do you hunt for a car? How do you hunt for a house? How do you hunt for the major purchases in your life? Kind of the same way, don't you? You want to feel like you got a deal, but even if it's expensive, you know, I just always wanted a watch like this, correct? The magic part of this, Rosie, is that it comes back to you unharmed. Thank you. And if Mike ever says he's learning to do magic, stay home. Okay, good. Because what I want to do is I want to tell you about something else that is just like what I said. Here's the something else. I was part of a generation that was selling Jesus Christ. That's it in a nutshell. We were selling Jesus Christ. We were having the big youth rallies. We were having the big Bible conferences so people would come out. We were having the big evangelistic meetings. You bring your friends so that we could, and I know this is kind of crass for you on a Sunday morning, so that we could sell Jesus Christ. And we sold Jesus Christ, and the reason I came to Christ, and I've said it before, those lied to me because they told me, like they probably told you, that Jesus will give you eternal life. I got that. Jesus, when you come to believe in Him, you'll get the Holy Spirit. And you'll have a guide for your life. I need that. I'll buy that. Jesus, if you come to believe in Him as Savior and Lord, will solve all your problems. Jesus will come into your life and bring order to your life. And you know what? You will do better at your job. You will make more money. Jesus will give you peace so you can sleep at night. That family problem you're having, Jesus will solve that. Jesus will solve your money problems. Jesus will meet your needs where you're at and take you somewhere else. And we were selling this product called Jesus, and people were coming forward by the droves. And guess what? So did Pastor Mike as a teenager, because what I was facing every single day, that sounded so much better. And so I ran to the front, and you would too, and some of you did. And then after I come to believe in Christ, I pray that prayer. I come to realize, as I read Scripture like this morning's, I go, oh my goodness, nobody told me this. If somebody had just been honest with me, if somebody who was leading that wonderful evangelistic meeting, who could, by the way, weave the stories, not like me, I've got too much of that East Coast in me. I don't weave stories. But some of these people, they're wonderful to listen to. And you listen to them, you close your eyes. You just feel their soothing voice. Okay? If you close your eyes and listen to my voice, you might get sick to your stomach. Okay? But here they are, soothing. And they're weaving the stories about Jesus. And the fact is, nobody for years told me the price to buy Jesus. What would it cost me to buy Jesus? And would anybody have the guts and the courage to get up there at one of these meetings and tell young Mike, just like many of you, you know what? You want to come to Christ? Well, guess what? Buck up and listen. The price is high. The price is ridiculously high. And the price will always cost you. And you know what? Accepting Jesus Christ is never going to make your life easy. In many of your cases, it's going to make it worse. People are going to hate you because of Christ. People in your family are going to disown you because of Christ. You're going to go to work and say something about Christ. People are going to laugh at you. They may cuss you, and it might cost you that job. Nobody ever said that to me. And I'm looking at the generation of my peers that are here. I'm not sure if you heard that either back then when they were selling Jesus. But after I started to study the Scripture, I saw the true price. There was one time in a church a few years ago, they asked me to come in with their leadership and do something as part of a weekend. And as part of a weekend on a Saturday morning, I opened up this passage of Scripture and I covered one point with them for 20 minutes. And when it was over, most of the guys and girls that were there were mad at me because I didn't tell the funny stories. I told the cost of following Jesus. So it's with that as a background that I ask you to get out your note sheet and look at a piece of Scripture you might not have watched or looked at very carefully. You've let it go by, but let me tell you something. This is not one to grow on. This is one to get stuck on. Because this is tough Scripture from the words of Jesus Christ, and it gets glossed over by everybody just about who's selling Jesus Christ. And I promise you that's the last time I say selling Jesus Christ, because it's kind of offensive to me too. Let's bow and pray. Our Father, we look at your word this morning. We look at the very words of your son, Jesus. And we ask that he would teach us this morning by his words. And Father, where need be, convict. Where need be, deepen us in our walk with you. Father, it's all to your praise and glory. I pray that you do right now and command our attention in this matter. For it is in Jesus' name that I do pray. Amen. You got your Bible open. The Scripture's coming up here. It's Luke chapter 9, verses 23 to 26. I buy into all that it is to have Jesus Christ, eternal life, spiritual wealth, access to the Holy Spirit in heaven who's now come to live within me. Oh, by the way, the living Word of God that now speaks to me in my circumstance and situation. I buy all that. I want it. I want the internal peace. What do I need now to have Christ? And Christ comes up with some incredible Scripture that I didn't even see coming, and says this to his followers. Says this to his followers that they understand what the commitment is. This is the joy of Candlewood. You say you want to come to a church that preaches the Scripture? This is the hard nut and bolt of Scripture this morning. I'm going to read it for you. You can look at it. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 26. And Jesus said to all, "If anyone would come after me..." That "come after me" means this simply in the Greek: to attach oneself to be a disciple. If you watched this morning here, if you watched me walking around, I've got a number of details in my head on a Sunday morning that I have to focus on between myself and Tyler. 1,000 details, right? to make this come off as easy as can be. Almost to the minute before the service, we're still talking about some stuff to make sure that it's happening like it should. And in the middle of all that, if you saw me doing that this morning, what you would have seen is a shadow behind me. Not the one cast by the light, but what did you see? Everywhere I went this morning, there was a granddaughter. By the way, it's when she was a baby, it was the same way. For some reason, as a baby, it had to be grandpa. And I've learned, if you want to get in this mode, here's the deal. When they're young, give them ice cream. When their parents aren't looking, you win them for life. Okay? I did it this morning at 5 a.m. I've got these kids for life. And now you're wondering, did he do it or not? Because they know me, okay? But everywhere I went this morning was a shadow. And it was just there. And she's attached to me. Later on, when we leave here, she's attached to me. If I go, oh, heaven forbid, should have to go to the bathroom. I go to the bathroom door, and right behind me, and I have to say, stay here. Because she's coming in with me. Everywhere that I go. Now, while it's really pretty cool, they've only been here a day. Talk to me tomorrow. Talk to me the day after that. Okay, I'm just kidding. It never gets the way, because Grandpa's attached to her, too. And that's really neat. But if you get the idea of attachment, you get this phrase here, if anyone would come after me. It means to attach yourself so closely that you're a disciple actually becoming like the one that you're following. Remember as you read the scripture, many people were curious about Jesus. Many people came to listen. Many people took the free lunch with the loaves and the fishes. And oh, by the way, the free entertainment of the magic tricks, the miracles. That was entertaining and fun to go see. But not many followed. That's the thing you don't hear much about. Not many followed. And if you read the scripture, listen carefully here. If you read the scripture, you say, well, we had the 12 apostles. Really 11, because one bugged out on him. You read the scripture, and at the end of the Gospel of John, right before the crucifixion, right before Jesus is arrested, when those guys had all this time with him, he looks at them and he says this, at last you believe. 3 years in, at last you believe. So they themselves were mulling it over in their head as they've attached themselves to Jesus Christ. Back to the scripture reading. There's a lot in here this morning, and this is depth. So if you wanted fluff and stories this morning, just check out right now. Work on your spring shopping list, all right? But this is going to go in the deep end of the pool, and you need to understand a lot of this. I do too. So Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. First point, what do I have to do to buy this thing? I want this Jesus. I want this relationship. I want all that he brings to me. I need all that he brings to me. What do I have to do? First point on your note sheet, it's right there. He must deny himself. Notice what it says here. He has to. He must deny himself. That deny means to turn someone off, to refuse association with, to totally disown. That's what the word means. It means to put my interests and wishes aside for the sake of the other. It means to give up my will. It means to give up my rights, my plans, voluntarily, wholeheartedly. I take all that I am and I say, Lord, it's all yours. So I'm thinking to myself, what does that look like? You know where the best way to find this, way to understand this? That's a horrible way to say it, but let me do it. Have you ever been in a hospice unit? Or have you ever been in a hospital ward when a relative or loved one is passing away? If you haven't, that day is coming for you, but a lot of us have been there many times. You know what it's like in that situation when you're listening to that loved one, if you've been like me, listening to them gasp for air, wondering if this was going to be the last breath, wondering, is this really it? And if you're like me, they got all those electronics now. So you're watching a heart rate diminish. You're watching the breaths diminish. And you're wondering, is this it? Is this what's really going on? Okay, you're with me, aren't you? You understand this, don't you? Okay, watch this. You ever notice when you're in that situation, your needs don't matter? You ever notice how you totally deny yourself? Ever notice how you might be in that situation and You had appointments maybe, but you're not going to them. Ever notice how when you're in that situation that you might be hungry, but it doesn't matter right now? Have you ever noticed that maybe it's gone all through the night and you've missed sleep, and not once do you think, I got to get to sleep, I don't have time for this? No. You've stayed right there with that relative. You may pass up meals, and listen to me carefully, you may even pass up going to the bathroom because of the situation in front of you, because you've totally denied yourself so that you might be there for this relative as they're passing. If you understand that situation just a little bit, then you understand what it means to deny yourself. And Christ tells me that part of the price of following Him, of attaching to Him, I have to completely deny myself in preference to Him and anything He says and He wants. And I'm not going to belabor this. Each of these are a whole series of sermons. The second point is this. He also says part of the price is this, that you've got to take up your cross daily. A voluntary act. Not a casual thing. Nobody in this situation thought it was a casual thing. Can you imagine from the time you were a little kid? Can you imagine going down and going to school? And as you're walking to school with your friends or to a family outing or whatever, you would look and across the hillside from the time you were a child, and you would see at different times of the year the crosses lined up on the hillside. History records that at times they ran out of wood, which means they had more people to put on the crosses, but they didn't do it because they ran out of wood. And as a kid, carrying your lunch, that's what you saw all the time, and you knew what was going on. You knew people who had been crucified. You knew people from your neighborhood who had been crucified. And this was the normal thing that you saw. And as you got a little older as a teenager, you went out and you looked at those crosses because you heard that somebody you knew was going to be crucified. And you went out there to watch them hang on a cross. By the way, they hung on the cross for days. Some people many, many, many days. Hard to believe, huh? That's your background. And Jesus takes this Roman torture device and He says, you take up your cross daily. The thing that they saw all the time, that symbol of torture and death. You got it? You take up your cross daily. Write this down if you're taking notes. There's a phrase I saw years ago and I made note of it. And it still continues to talk to me and speak to me in so many ways. Here's the phrase, okay? For Christ, the cross was a one-way journey. For us in Christ, it's a one-way journey. How about that? For Christ, the cross was a one-way journey. For us in Christ, it's a one-way journey. No turning back. One way. And I'm to do this consciously and consistently. And without any excuse for not doing it, I take up my cross daily. Third point you must see is this. What's part of the price for this thing that's so expensive and so fantastic, being a disciple of Christ? Third, I must follow Christ. Written in such a way in the Greek that it goes like this. I must always be following Christ. This is full-blown following Him in one direction with no change of course. I have to follow Him. When? All the time. When? Now. I'm doing it now. I'm always in the now. I'm doing it now. I am following Christ. The cost to have Christ, like He is described to me, is that I follow Him, and I follow Him all the time. By the way, for you technos, written in the present tense, which indicates all the time, always following. So there's the price. There it is. I've got this item that's so fantastic in Christ. Here it is with all the benefits and greatness to it. You're going to be enjoying these benefits forever. I will talk to you 1,000,000 years from now, and we will still be enjoying these benefits. But the price to get that is ridiculous. Here it is. Here's how they should have said it years ago. You want to pay it? You don't have to. Are you willing to pay that? Are you willing to be about the business of getting the price together to pay that? I believe the reason the churches are filled today with people who think they have it, but they really don't, is because this scripture has not been taught accurately, that following Christ is an all-in or not event. Relationship with Christ is an all-in or not event. It can't be flirted with. It can't be just coolly, I'm cool, I'm with Jesus. I love Jesus. It's more than that. Jesus has got me and I'm serving Him. And Jesus now goes on to give 3 points of logic. I want you to see this in verse 24. Look at verse 24 with me. Jesus comes out and says, okay, let me give you some logic to this. Verse 24. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. How many of you have seen that scripture before? Just about all of us. And you did just like I did. For where was it? It's forgotten. A lot of times these longer sentences are just forgotten, especially the ones that play off of each other. Here's Jesus' first point of logic. Do you want to save your life? Here it is. That word save means to rescue, means to preserve in a safe place. This word life that's up here means your total person, body and soul, your total being. So whoever wants to work at rescuing or preserving his total being will lose it because he can't do it on his own. But whoever loses his total being to Christ will actually preserve their life. Let me explain it easier. You need to be up with me at 4 or 5 in the morning. You need to flip on TV with your morning tea. You need to flip through the 4,000 channels on cable and realize that every idiot like me is on there selling their powder, selling the thing that you can wear on your wrist that will give you long life and give you mental clarity. This morning a guy had some kind of bracelet on. He said, and this will give you mental clarity. And I thought, well, maybe if you go like this all the time with it, but how's it helping down there? And he went on to say that it would keep your life simple and it would keep your life from getting major diseases. Just got to buy this thing. And I was like, I want that thing. If it does that, and I know these things cycle around every so often, and they don't. The fact of the matter is there's lots of systems in the world that'll tell me how to have a happier life. But they fail every single time. But let's say they really did. The truth is it produces no real security. It produces no real peace. And I was thinking about this morning when I saw this guy doing this. And I thought about the price for Christ is so ridiculous and doesn't fit in with what I've heard. I heard it should just be simply believe in Him and then do whatever you want. No. In fact, do you remember the Peanuts cartoon? Remember the Peanuts movie? And am I the only one in this room still watching that stuff? Okay, thank you. Me and Jerry are still watching that stuff. There's a scene in there. You see it in the cartoon every so often, and you see it in the Peanuts movie. And Lucy is running her little booth, psychiatry booth, which is scary. This is the psychiatrist that pulls the football away from her patient every fall so he might fall and have further problems, which probably makes him go back to her for the rest of the year and is billable. Okay, good. We've covered why she does that. But she has a phrase on top. And how much is the cost for her psychiatric evaluation of you? And 5 cents. Very good. And if you watch the movie and watch the cartoon strip, it also translates into this. Lucy said, everything should be 5 cents. How much is it? Lucy goes, everything's 5 cents. Everything should be 5 cents. It just should be 5 cents. And in my world, I agree with her. Lucy, you're right. Everything should be 5 cents. It should be simple. I've got a car out there. 5 cents. Okay? I'm going out after this for a huge steak at a famous steak place. I'm not. I'm just throwing it in. And when they come with the bill, which could be hundreds and hundreds of dollars, I should look at them and reach my pocket and go, I got a nickel. Here you go. 5 cents. Everything should be 5 cents. In my world, the world would be so much easier if that house they're building across the street is how much? 5 cents, all right? I'd be all over that. In fact, I would have put a down payment on that already if that was 5 cents. Would it be a penny, right? Okay, I would have done that. That's right. You're getting the idea, aren't you? It's so much better if it's all 5 cents, but the truth of the matter is that's what I think. That's what the world thinks. Here's their 5 cents. You live your life any way you want, and the fact of the matter, I heard somebody this week that says, just before you die, I'm reading this article, can't believe it. Just before you die, God will then appear to you in your vision of your mind, seconds before you die, and He'll propose to you this. Do you want to come and be with me forever, or would you like to go to eternal punishment? Well, everybody in their right mind, then about to die, says, I think I'd like to go with you, Lord. And He goes, okay, good. Boom, 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 you're in. And you get to go to heaven. I love that. That's 5 cents, isn't it? Do whatever you want to do. Come to Jesus Christ, believe in Him, pray the prayer, and then do whatever you want because God forgives our sins like you wouldn't believe. There it is. 5 cents. But the reality is in Scripture, everything's not 5 cents. God has laid out the cost of following Jesus Christ. And it's as far from 5 cents as you can get it. And He lays it out here with this illustration about life. And the second one that's here is verse 25. Look at it with me. This is a great strategy, by the way, for profit and investment. Verse 25. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? Well, there we go. Here's your investment strategy. Everybody in the world has an investment strategy. Everybody in the world knows how they're going to be rich. Everybody thinks they have the latest and greatest thing that they're going to be rich. Or they've got a financial counselor that's going to give it to them. And you know what? Let's say this. Let's say you could gain all the wealth and all the possessions of this world. Let's say you could really do it. Let's say you could really acquire all that stuff and just be master of just about everything that exists. What ultimately would all that be good for? It'd be good for the now. And you know what? The now is coming to an end. I'm going to drive home here in a little bit, okay? I don't know if I'm going to get there. I think I'm going to get there. I'm planning on getting there, but I don't know if I'm going to get there. By the way, I have done several funerals for people who shook my hand and hugged me, and one lady kissed me at the door. She was a lot older. It was okay. Well, I got a couple of looks like, Mike, and I was like, no, she's a lot older. She's loving me to death. She adopted me. Left, and by that Thursday or Friday was doing their funeral. When they left, they told me they'd see me later on in the week and do it. One was a young person a few years ago, gave me a hug at the door and said, see you Tuesday. There was a meeting at church that Tuesday night. And by Tuesday night or Wednesday, I was at her viewing and did her funeral on Friday. How could that happen? How in the world could that go on? Because you don't know. You don't know. This now comes to an end. We do know that. We just hate to deal with that. And the investment strategy, if it's based on the now, it doesn't mean anything because it doesn't go on to the later. The now is live for this much. Right there it is. Oh, I was generous. Hold on. It's not that much. The now is, way too long there. Hold it. The now is so teeny, 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 teeny in the course of time as compared to forever with Jesus, which is how large? I don't know, but from what I understand, it has no end. That's how large it is. And so what you do here is very simply look at Christ's investment strategy. The investment strategy for Christ is this. In the short term, it's going to cost you everything, and I'm going to have it from you. I'm going to use you. It may cost your life. You may have to go to the mission field. Hard to believe. Watch. And the truth is this. While you could gain incredible amounts in the short term, your long term would be a loss. From Christ's standpoint, He wants our gain to be total, and He wants our long term gain to be with Him and the things of Him forever. And it's not focusing on the short term. Third point is here. It's up there. You got your notes with you? It is a question, and that's who do we stand for? Another test of this. Another qualifying statement. Verse 26, for whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed. I have seen that scripture before, and it sits tough with me. Because that Son of Man is going to come in His glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. And I want to be part of that. If you've been part of HD study, we've been studying last times eschatology. We've been studying end times. We've looked at the, help me, Jennifer. We have looked at the book of Daniel. We have looked at the book of Ezekiel. We have looked at the book of Revelation. We have looked at the book we're in right now, which is, Phil?
Zechariah.
By the way, we're talking in the fall doing Acts, but that's not now. Okay, that's, we're in this prophecy. And how all these overlap and talk about this end time period, how all these overlap and give us a glimpse of the glory of Christ, which the Scripture says that I'm part of. You see, if I follow Jesus Christ, I'm part of something I never could have been part of before. If I give my life to Him in such a way to be a follower of Him and disciple of Him, then all of that is opened up. It might not be for here and now. Almost guaranteed it's not for here and now. But it's for then and with Him forever. And that's what my goal was anyway, is to have that kind of relationship with Him forever. And then this time I spend here, no matter how tough it is, will seem like yay or less. I'm not sure I can do it. You get the idea. The challenge this morning for us, and it's here in this third statement, is who do you stand for? And this scripture is very simple. If you stand for Christ, then He'll stand for you. It's the ultimate test of the heart. Who do you stand for? Who do you vocalize about? Who comes out of your mouth? And here Christ is taking that long-term approach with that wide-angle lens. And we're part of that picture. And if you follow him and you're not ashamed of him, it says here that Christ will stand for you and not be ashamed of you. And this scene, listen to me, is not a phrase. This is real life situation. You can look at other scripture where it says he will represent us to the Father. How about that? Personally, you will be represented to the Father if you follow him. Scripture is always good because you can do this with it. And if you don't follow him, the opposite is true. These are words that need to be spoken to us as followers of Christ. Because look, this whole month of May, we're going to be talking about developing mature Christ followers, our vision, our goal, the thing we exist for, and basically that's making disciples of Christ. And it's very important that if you're out there making disciples of Christ, that you yourself be a disciple of Christ and being a mature follower of Christ yourself before you can go out there, ministry begins, you go through these doors, before you go out there and attempt to do it. So with that being said, I'm going to ask you to bow with me. Tough scripture, tough words from Christ. But I know, just like me, you've got to think about these later this week. You've got to give some thought as to exactly what Christ is saying here. And you've got to give some thought as to exactly where it intersects with you. Your heart, your life, who you've been seeking to represent. What have you been seeking to do? What are the goals in your life like right now? How are they being fulfilled? Are they ones that Christ has given you, or are these ones that you just have because you want to be rich and live easy? Lots to think about here, and I encourage you to do so. Father, as we go from here this morning, I would ask that you would continue to ring this scripture, bring it back to us, bring it back to us, bring it back to us. Because, Father, we truly want to be your disciples, sold out to you on this level, followers of you, so that people would know that we are yours and yours alone. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.